Welcome one and all once again to Dual Worlds in episode 61. We have a very light episode this week considering that GDC was this past week, but as we learned from GDC and the Sony Vita Heaven event, expectations sometimes don't match up with reality in a sad, sad mixture. This week joining us we have Daniel.
Hello.
And we have Martin.
Hi everyone.
I actually believe this is probably the first episode where we have more people not from North America. But it is that we have a little bit of European flavor this week.
Europe's awesome.
There was some news that came out. I don't know if it was pre-GDC, but we'll get to that in a minute. There was a big game that came out this week, and as always, we haven't faded, but Martin has. So, you want to tell us about your experience with Mass Effect?
I really like Mass Effect 3. I think I liked it more than 2. I mean, gameplay-wise, I don't think they changed a lot. It kind of plays the same, but the story is fun. It's nice to finish the whole thing out. I enjoyed making my decisions, good or bad. All that is still a lot of fun. Only problem I had with the game was the ending. I'm not going to spoil it, don't worry.
I don't know anybody that doesn't have a problem with the ending.
The ending is quite terrible because they did what I always hate in these games. They give you choices because at the end, they basically give you 3 choices how the game can end. So basically, yeah, like Invisible War, basically. All the things you did before don't matter. You have to choose one of the 3 endings, and all the 3 endings don't really differ all that much.
Wait, how do you... Well, okay, that's probably going to go into the spoilers, but like, as big as... What do you mean by you get to choose the 3 of them? Like, do you get to pick from a menu, or is it like an endgame decision?
You go down 3 different ramps.
Oh,
you choose like, one ramp to go down.
It's like the Force Unleashed, where it's like, oh, you can either fight the Emperor or you can fight Darth Vader.
Something like that. I'm not going to say exactly what.
That's kind of stupid in hindsight. I mean, I haven't played the game, and maybe they do it better than it sounds.
It actually isn't even a boss fight. You just get a cutscene.
Wow, that sounds... So, like, if you save right before, you can just continue and go back and check out the 3 of them?
I didn't even try.
If you can't, there'll be DLC for that. EA will sell you the ability to do that later.
Yeah.
So just hang on and get your wallets ready.
So, yeah, not really a fan of the ending. That was really, really dumb. Especially since one of the things you can choose really conflicted with what I did just 5 minutes before. So, yeah.
Okay. Then 2 more questions before we move on. I know this is probably going to be a spoiler, but does it leave any room for a potential sequel or spin-off of sorts?
I think it finishes out the story very well. So the whole Shepard, Reaper, Cerberus thing, that's over.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
The game does say there will be DLC, so keep your save file when you finish
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what they say exactly. So basically you can get more episodes with Shepard or something like that. But that all stuff is over, so it is finishing everything off. But of course they leave potential open to do other things with the universe.
Okay. The other question, is there anything as annoying as mining in this game?
It's not as bad as mining, but it's still got on my nerves. You basically can fly around a sector and activate a scan, and then maybe something will be found on the planet, and then you can go there and scan the planet, launch a probe, then you find the thing, and then you get the thing. The problem is, every time you scan a sector, you raise the Reaper awareness. So at some point, just Reaper ships will be flying into the sector and kill you. So
So it's not even like you can defend yourself.
No, you have to run.
Oh, that's stupid.
Oh, damn.
So basically, you do two scans. Basically, you go into a sector, do two or three scans, then go into another sector, and then at some point get back into the sector you were in before.
I thought, oh, you're like the Reapers, and then you'd have to fight your way out. Now, like, oh, you're order number one, like a pussy. I mean, what type of Commander Shepard are you?
Yeah. It's better than the mining, but no, actually, I think if they had just left it out, it would have been better.
But I think that would have been said about scanning and the Mako from the first one, so...
Yeah.
I don't know why it's put it in, but...
Spend the resources on making more real side missions, not this stupid shit.
Okay, so that's Mass Effect 3. We won't talk about it too much, because then you get into spoiler territory.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Jason will be around next week to discuss further, because it's his most anticipated game of forever. So yeah, there's that. Daniel, have you been playing anything?
Not particularly, no.
Okay. I've just been playing Castlevania The Lords of Shadows. For some odd reason, I'm really not sure why. I play a ton of video games. I mean, I have the Uncharted franchise. But for some reason, this game bothers me in that sense, because it's linear, and, like, it's... I think it's because it has so many wide-open environments, but you're pretty much, like, shot down a corridor. So it looks like you have a lot of space, but, like, it's those invisible walls of gaming where, like, a rock is too high for your character to jump. Or like a waterfall, and it just really bothers me when that happens. Like, it made sense in, like, the 64 era, but now you're just kind of cheating graphics and saying, like, you can't go here anyhow. We're really nice and beautiful and kind of stationary.
I have to say, it didn't bother me that much when I played it, but I actually really like the game.
I do too, and that's the thing. It's like, I'm enjoying it for the most part. I do think some of, I mean, I like the combat. I think it's really well done. I enjoy the voice acting. Patrick Stewart's awesome, and unlike some other, like some most video games, it doesn't sound like he's bored on a weekend recording this. It sounds like he actually put energy into it. You get a lot of variety in the game between the combat and riding and giant monsters and stuff like that. Different types of enemies are always introduced. I think the game has a decent sense of humor about itself. Like, it's not overly funny, but they do have scenes that are played out, yes, seriously than you would think in this type of game. Usually whenever a bigger... Like, usually you have a monster introduction, and then you have a bigger monster introduction.
Yeah.
Which trumps the other one. And then, like, I just met the giant statue and the girl. And yeah. I think I'm up to the boss battle, which is a giant rock.
I actually also really like the story of the game, and they kind of had some balls with the ending, but you'll see.
Yeah, we won't get that far. I do want to... Do you ever get to a castle?
Let me think. It's been a while since I played it.
Because, I mean, I'm enjoying the environments and stuff, but I'm just like, this is a Castlevania game, and I'm honestly the furthest away from a castle. I'm, like, out in the... mud and the swamps.
I think there were castle ruins, if I remember correctly.
Okay. I'm just like, but there's no castle in sight. And I get that they wanted to keep the brand, but I'm like, at some point you should just kind of, you know, even if it's for like one chapter of the game, put me in a castle and make me do that. Like, I've been in caves and caverns and swamps and forests and ice areas, but no castles.
Well, the game didn't even start as a Castlevania game, so you have to forgive them.
I guess sometimes, and you know, this will go into the news, I guess sometimes you don't have to stick a brand on a game just to get it to sell. Like, new IPs can... I think this would have been good. I mean, granted, some people might have called it a God of War-type clone, especially once you have, you know, like, you have the two types of melee attacks, the strong attacks and the ranged ones. You kind of have that chain weapon, and you have these giant guys of bosses. So I can see where that comparison would come in. But it's a fun game, and I think I got it for, like, $10, so that's always a decent deal.
Yeah. The combat is actually pretty fun. They have some nice combos in there. You have lots of special abilities you can use, so it's really fun.
Yeah, it's a fun game. It's just that for some reason the corridor style gameplay really stuck out to me in this game, as opposed to I played Uncharted and I played in Saves, which kind of has the same thing. It even has the same growing platform you can jump on thing, which I always find strange but funny. So yeah, it is bad. I just want to mention it briefly. It's not, I don't even know how much of a video game it is, but I'm so addicted to it. It's the Avengers Alliance game on Facebook.
Okay. You have to tell me about that. I have no idea what it is.
It's basically, it's a really simple, like, RPG. You go in, you're a new recruit to the Shield, so you're part of the Avengers. And it's like a turn-based RPG. You recruit a Marvel characters. Like, I think you start off recruiting Iron Man, Hawkeye, then you later on get, like, Ms. Marvel. You can recruit, like, Cyclops, and I have Sif on my team and stuff like that. And then it's like an RPG with social elements. So, like, have any of you played Metroid Prime 3?
Yes, I've played it.
Okay, you know, remember how in Metroid Prime 3 Corruption, you got, like, the friend tokens, which were, like, achievements, and then you could send them to friends, and your friends could redeem them for stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of has that same thing where, like, you get stuff. Like, you can't get stuff in the game on your own.
Oh, a lot of Facebook games are like that.
Yeah, you could send it to friends, and then friends, you know, send it back to you. And how that works is that's usually used to level up your characters and to research new stuff so you can unlock weapons and gears and special items in the store and stuff.
So it's like Farmville. Yeah.
I guess. I haven't played Farmville, but Farmville doesn't have Marvel characters and RPGs and boss battles.
So that would be why. This Zynga put boss battles and Marvel characters in Farmville, and then they'll play it.
So there is some extra gameplay.
Yes, it's a turn-based RPG. It's very simple. For the most part, you know, it's like any. You start off with one move. You equip different weapons. Like Ryan's character has a gun and a katana. Yeah, different. It has like the Pokemon Rock Paper Scissors type battles where there are, I believe, six classes of characters. There's scrappers, brawlers, infantry, blasters, and then each one has like a weakness and a strength.
Hmm.
So like for example, Hawkeye is infantry. And if he attacks an infiltration, scrapper, he gets a double attack, so he gets to attack again and stuff like that. And that kind of comes into play with the strategy and stuff like that, because his characters, if he's on your team, if they attack him, they automatically attack him twice. Mm. So you just have to kind of balance it. And it's really addicting, it's really fun. Like I said, it's not going to win any awards for RPG of the year, but as a time waster on Facebook, a great game.
You don't have to pay anything for it.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask as well.
It's kind of like, I guess it's kind of like any free-for-play game where you can spend money if you want, but other than that, you can, like, if you want to speed up the process of certain stuff, like, you can buy gold in the game to unlock special weapons on new stages and stuff like that, but the other, that you can also unlock it by just grinding in the game.
But the grind is not too bad, so you feel like, it's basically impossible, and it's really encouraging you to pay for it.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that way to me. The one thing I will note, and I guess this is a kind of a thing with Facebook games in general, is that it has an energy system, which I think is really backwards. So basically, if you want to, like I think you start off with like 60 energy, and each battle takes about 5 to 10. So
let me guess, when you run out, you can buy more energy in it.
Well, you can, but I usually just take a break.
Yeah. I hate games like that. Games like that are designed to sap money from you.
I have enough other things to do. I just usually, I leave it there for a couple hours. I send my crew out on a mission so they can get XP. Because there's other ways to get XP, so I send them out on missions for 2 hours, and I come back, they get XP, I get money, and then we start again. So yeah, that's Avengers Alliance. I spent more time talking about a Facebook game than I did a 360 game.
I just remembered that I actually played something else. I played the demo of I Am Alive.
How is that game?
I didn't really like it. I had my reservations with the history of the development of the game. I think it changed developers 3 times, at least 2 times. And it has been in development since 2006? 2008? Something like that, I think. So, long time. it felt weird. First of all, the thing you notice is it looks like shit. I can see why they wanted to have muted colors, but I think they went a bit over the top because the game is basically black and white. And all the textures are really low res, the animations don't look very good, all of it just isn't really looking good, and the gameplay just feels clunky, I think. It's all just, you can kind of feel like they had these ideas and they didn't just quite know how to translate them into gameplay. So we came up with something that kind of works. But that doesn't really make it fun.
That kind of sounds like the same type of review as Never Dead got, which is like it's a decent concept that really does get stretched too far.
Yeah, I saw there was like people like being amazed at how like you can have a gun but have no bullets, and you'd point it at somebody and they'd back off. And I thought that was quite neat. And then I saw somebody actually doing it in game, and so they'd point the gun at them and they'd back off, but as soon as they put the gun down, they'd start running at them again. And it's like,
yep.
Well, what's the point? You've just forgotten that I've got a gun in my hand, you know?
Yeah.
I was going to say, though, even something like Golden, I did, I mean, granted, it was the scientist, but it did something like that where if you had a gun charm, people would kind of cower in front of you. So.
And the problem is, I don't think they wanted to do real combat, but the problem is how they do combat. Basically, if you just have one bullet and have to fight four guys, then it kind of turns into this trial and error thing. You basically put out your gun, hope that everyone stands still, then shoot the guy out of the... No. First you go into the group of four, then wait that someone gets close, slit his throat, so you get his gun, then point the gun at the guys, shoot one, and then kind of try to separate the other two and hope that they give up so you can knock them out. It kind of turned into this trial and error thing, so you just managing the opponents instead of really doing what you want to do.
And there's like no freedom. It's like, oh, yeah. It's kind of like a shooting puzzle game.
Yeah, so yeah. I didn't really think that works very well.
Well, I'm gonna. You said there's a demo of it, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I'm gonna check that out. I didn't even know one came out. But yeah, that should do it for our gaming section, and now we have news. Lots of news. Actually, I guess more and more like leaks, because Perry, Microsoft can't keep a lid on anything.
And they had a big, like, reveal of stuff, so...
But they had a big they were going to have a big reveal, and then, like, everything the night before. Which is kind of like the same thing that happened with the Kinect and the Xbox Sim a couple of years ago at E3.
If I remember correctly, though, this time it didn't come out of Europe, the leak, right?
No, it came out of Microsoft.
Yeah.
On Xbox.com.
Oh, dear.
Somebody probably got fired over that. But yes, Microsoft announced, or not announced, two of these games were already known. I think most of these games were known. I think Fable Heroes is the only new one. But we got new details and, I guess, screens of Halo 4, Fable the Journey, Forza Horizons, and Fable Heroes was introduced this week. I want to start with Fable Heroes because I think that was the first one that popped up, and it's the game that I think looks the most different from all of them. It's a Fable game that's kind of like Gauntlet meets Mario Party, I hear it described as. It's part beat-em-up, part party game.
Yeah, it looks really simple.
And yeah, the idea isn't so bad. Like, I mean, who doesn't know if Casu crashes? And I think, you know, we don't have enough 4-player co-op games as it is.
It looks simpler than Castle Crashers.
Yeah, and the art style is hideous.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I looked at that and I was like, oh my god.
The art style looks like you had like five different people give ideas, and instead of picking just one, you all were like, okay, you get to design the characters, you get to design the environments, you get to design the special stuff. Because it's like, you have like 2D sprites in a 3D world, you have cartoony cel-shaded characters on like a 3D environment, and it's just like, it's hideous, and it has no logical sense in my brain. Like, my brain's trying to comprehend what's going on here, and it's like, are these elements working against each other to create this style?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't look good. It looks simple, and I didn't even play Fable 2 and 3 because the combat got simpler and simpler, and that's not really something I want. So
it's a very
I think it's going to suffer the same problem that I think Fable 2 Pub Games was it called had, where you could tell that they just made it because it was like a side game just for extra stuff to put into. And that, well, in this case, it would be Fable the Journey just to unlock stuff.
Yeah, but I was going to say, and this just goes to Fable the Journey as well, it's that the Fable brand isn't that huge. I don't know if it can kind of, I mean, I don't know, maybe these games turn out to be well, but as of right now, it looks like two meteoric games that people aren't really receptive to. You don't want to kill off the brand.
And not only that, is the brand has got a stigma to it because it's as it's gone on, it's gotten simpler and simpler, and it's become not an RPG anymore. And well, the ending of Fable 3. So, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess to tie this in, and we'll talk about Fable as well. But Peter Molyneux. It's even Microsoft, or his F Microsoft.
Hooray.
Hooray?
I don't know, because I don't really know what he did at Microsoft.
He was a game designer. He was responsible for pretty much all of the concepts for...
Yeah, the problem is with Peter. He has lots of nice concepts, but none of them really turned out lately.
And well, not
and
only that,
lately,
is the sheer,
I mean, like the last 10 years.
The hyperbole that comes out of Peter Molyneux, you know, Fable was going to be the best RPG ever made. You know, it's and he said with Fable 2 that he was going to stop promising things that he couldn't deliver on, and he went and continued doing it anyway. The thing
I was at Gamescom when he announced Fable 3 and told us about the human connection and holding someone else. Man,
yeah.
I rolled my eyes.
And I can't help but think that this is sort of a Bullfrog again, where, you know, because at Bullfrog he had his own studio, and then EA came in and bought it, and then he was sick of EA's bureaucracy, so he left and formed Lionhead. I can't help but think that this is just the same thing, where he's gone off and said, you know, I don't want to deal with the bureaucracy with Microsoft anymore. I'm going to start my own studio.
But isn't he also responsible for stuff like the one button combat and stuff like that? So maybe it's even better when that he leaves. Maybe the Fable team can finally do a real.
Yeah, it is. I did say on Twitter when I found out that he left that maybe we'll get some good Fable games now.
Yeah, but I mean, there's always a chance of reigniting the franchise's interest. I mean, Sonic has gone through a decade of crappy games, and I think Sonic Colors and Generations has helped turn that around. But I don't think, especially if Fable Heroes and the Journey comes out this year and aren't great games, that would be, what, 4 games in a row or 3.5 games in a row for the series that hasn't been that great.
Yeah, I mean... I like Fable 1. I really like Fable 1.
Yeah,
but
you
just
kept one
taking
great
stuff
game.
Out. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could. Sonic did it.
They are. Lionhead is working on an MMO, and supposedly that
right.
might also be Fable themed.
That's going to be the Fable world of Fable is just going to be you just press W and then everything happens for you. You don't have to grind to just W.
I guess that's the other thing is when we'll get to this, we'll transition to Halo 4 and Forza, is that Microsoft really has these 4 brands now that they're just kind of cycling through.
They have to hope that they always can pay Epic enough money so they keep making games for them.
I have to say, Gears of War Future is up in the air.
At the moment, Microsoft's putting most of their eggs in the Kinect basket, and that's only going to last for so long.
Well, I think, we don't have MPD numbers to talk about here, but I think we're kind of seeing the results of that now, where Microsoft, I mean, granted, it's not huge compared to like Nintendo or Sony, but Microsoft sales are down year over year in the States already, and I think that's because you're seeing a waning interest in Kinect, because The games come out twice a year now. You get one Summer Rush and then you get the Fall Rush, and that's it.
Well, and not only that, is it doesn't have any killer apps, really. It's got Dance Central. And
Steel Battalion. Oh, well, I guess we talk later about that.
Yeah. It has that, and I, like I said, I'm kind of curious to see what Star Wars Connect does in April. I'm not saying the game looks awful.
It looks awful.
But we know that a brand can carry a crappy game. I mean, there's a reason Enter the Matrix is a multi-million selling game. That and I guess the 9.25 it got in Game Informer.
That's depressing.
But yeah, I'm kind of curious because Microsoft, I mean, you know, people always mention that Nintendo kind of shot the bed when they bit the whole system on the Wiimote, but they had faith in their product.
Nintendo also have a lot of brands, and Nintendo put all of their brands on the Wii with full force,
and that's
everything
I mean.
Is there.
They went all or nothing. Microsoft, it's kind of like, they supported it, but it's not like anything major. I mean, I guess Fable the Journey, which is like 2 years after the device came out. And on the other end, and this isn't in the show notes, Sony, I think, mentioned that they sold 10.5 million units of the Move in a year and a half. And that's not that impressive when you think about the fact that it includes controllers and the navigational controller.
Yeah.
Which means you have like 4 or 5 million Move units in the wild. You can have a device. Just having a device doesn't mean anything if you don't actually
show it. It's not really a case of if you build it, they will come. Not really.
I think there's a possibility of it. I mean, you kind of got novel ideas on the Wii because Nintendo supported it. And I think there's actually a lot of interesting stuff on Kinect this year. As Martin mentioned, we have Steel Battalion.
Yeah, but you need to sort of push it a little bit as well as just saying, here you go. Because that's what Nintendo did, is Nintendo were pushing it. They were saying, you know, this is happening and we're supporting it, so you've got to do the same as well. And people did.
And pushing stuff like Fable the Journey is kind of wrong. The game looks so dumb.
Well,
seriously.
Microsoft have come out with, you know, I mean, Dance Central, yes, but things like Kinectimals and Once Upon a Monster, really?
Which is great for a kid's game, which is, and I think that's...
But it's not. There's no mass appeal there. I mean, Steel Battalion will certainly help. But
it doesn't have
Master Tail
either.
Well, it's going to help with the core.
Will probably sell me a Kinect.
Yeah, I mean, like, the voice command stuff in Mass Effect 3 is novel, but it's not needed.
Well, and not only that, it's binary domain is showing that you don't need Kinect to do that. The only reason Microsoft are just using Kinect as an excuse.
Okay, you don't need, you have a mic that comes with every system, they could have just used that.
Mass Effect 3 even says it's better with Kinect, but I really don't.
Obviously, people on Twitter talk about how
takes extremely longer than just pointing and pressing A.
I know. That's the thing.
And I've seen people on Twitter talk about how even like the sound, ambient sound coming from the game itself is enough to trigger off some voice commands.
Oh.
Which is just, if that's true, that's just silly.
But that would make sense because Kinect picks up any sound in the room.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have but Steel Battalion. There's the Panzer Dragoons, Shiroichi successor, who's Red Dragon or Crimson Red or Red
Crimson Dragon, right?
Is it? It's like Red Crimson or something like that. Because I know
something with red.
Yes, because that's the something like that. And then they have another game coming out this year that I thought was, and if I can't remember the name, that's probably not a good sign. I think Star Wars has potential to do well, even if the game looks crappy. We got a new video of that, and I have no idea what the hell that... Okay, one, it's just because this is on Kinect does not mean that this game gets an excuse to accept crap. The game looks like it was made on the PS2.
And it is a minigame collection.
Yes, it's a minigame collection. That makes no sense whatsoever. I understand the pod racing. I understand the lightsaber. I don't remember a Star Wars movie with the dance sequence. Nor do I remember that Star Wars sequence having the YMCA song.
It's just saying, Kinect can do this. Let's put it in the Star Wars games somehow.
Even worse, it's not the real YMCA. It's some Star Wars variation of YMCA.
Oh, dear.
If it only was the real song.
It's so bad that Jar Jar Binks is rolling over in his grave. But yes, and we also got photos from Halo 4, which looks like Halo. I don't honestly know what else to say about that.
I'm not looking forward to it.
There are also some footage in the VidDoc. There also was some short video clips of the multiplayer.
It's like Halo still.
I have to say, I am excited for it now. I wasn't at all before. I was very skeptical with Bungie not doing it, but what I saw looks nice, and 343, right? 343 is saying all the right things to me, what they want to do with the game. So now I'm actually excited for Halo 4.
I'll keep an open mind about it. I mean, honestly, I'll get it because it's one of the few games I can get one of my good friends to actually play with me. So I'll get it eventually. But I mean, it's also kind of the thing that Halo has kind of had a new iteration almost every year since 2007. It's had 2007. No year that's been off is 2008. And
there was no Halo game in 2008.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Almost every year since 2008.
Yeah.
One was an expansion, and the other one was
a remake.
But we had in 2009 there was Wars and ODST in the same year.
I give you Halo Wars, but the other one was an expansion, basically.
Yes, but they sold it.
They saw it as a new game.
It wasn't like, oh, you have Halo 3, you can download it. It's like,
yeah, and then Reach, want. Then CEA, yeah. Halo 4, I want to be surprised, but I'm not looking forward to it.
Well, I mean, obviously they're keeping an eye behind closed doors. They keep on talking about like the.
They said perks, and I was like, "That's it, I'm out." No.
Well, it's from what I understand, it's not like perks. It's like armor abilities, but like, you know how you bought the armor and how you reach, which I thought was kind of. I thought that was kind
of. And they've got Call of Duty style loadouts as well, and some gimmicky crap with power weapons and indicators.
You have loadouts in.
I think
they're not going to do it like Reach, and they say they're not going to do it like Call of Duty, so how are you going to do it? Because the loadouts in Reach were set by Bungie, appropriate to game type, and the loadouts in Call of Duty are set by the player, appropriate to gameplay style. So I don't know how they're going to do it, but
I can see a mutual ground where like, you have certain loadouts in certain modes. Like kind of like Reach meets Call of Duty, like say, you know, like how Halo Reach has you can start off with DMR and a pistol, or you can start off with like the SMG and a pistol, or SMG and a DMR. It's like maybe you can say like here's four weapons in this mode. You can pick the two that you want to start off with.
And I'm not looking forward to the lore because they've already, as far as I'm concerned, they've already messed it up. You know, we've got Spartan 2s and 3s, so here's Spartan 4s, and we're going to give you a reason for playing the multiplayer. You know that multiplayer you've been playing for years, and you always wanted a reason for it? Now you've got a reason for it. Here is a reason for bright red Spartans shooting at bright blue Spartans. I'm like, what? What?
It will be a training simulation or something like that. You already know it.
Because there are two games that have sort of tried to explain the multiplayer mode, the competitive multiplayer mode, right? And they do it very differently. We've got Team Fortress 2, which knows the game is screaming at you that having two teams of, like, the identical people just wearing different coloured clothes is silly, right? And then we've got Brink, which, you know, it gave you a world and you saw each multiplayer match as it was a series of objectives, but, you know, so the security team of the Ark would say, you know, the rebels, they're trying to deliver a bioweapon and they're going to use it to kill us all. And if you're playing on the rebels side, you find out that it's not actually a bioweapon, it's medicine for people that are infected with some virus. So, I mean, they're not going to do it that way. I can't see them doing it that way because Brink involved watching a cutscene before every time you started the match. I mean, yes, you can skip it, but the cutscene was there, and the world was it was effectively a blank slate, so they could get away with that sort of thing. Whereas Halo isn't a blank slate world. There's already a lore there, and you know we've got the humans and the Covenant at war with each other, and I don't see how they could have the humans killing humans for any reason, especially Spartans killing Spartans.
Personally, I don't really care about their justification for multiplayer. I will probably just ignore it and play it, and that's that.
Yeah, that's basically what I was going to say. It's like, do we need a reason as to... Like, I've never questioned why I'm doing
just
the
not
right or blue
team. Yeah, my point is that if they're going to do this, then what's to say they're not going to screw the single player up, like, story-wise? I mean...
Personally, this is just me.
I mean, you may not care, but I care. I care.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a diehard... I mean, there's books and there's comics.
And I haven't read any of them because for the simple fact is the more I read of them, the more retcons there are. So, you know, if I stick with just the games and I've got something that's sort of semi-consistent...
Yeah. Well,
I kind of care about the story in the single player, but I have faith in them doing that right. Isn't Frank O'Connor still in charge of the lore and stuff like that? So I think
yeah, I suppose. I mean, some of the stuff they've done in the past hasn't been too bad. I mean, Halo Legends was pretty good, so maybe. I mean, I want to be surprised. So
if they did the cutscenes in anime style, that might piss some people off. I would love to see that, just to see people's reactions.
But I tell you what, one good thing is they brought the battle rifle back. The DMR was one of the biggest mistakes that Bungie made with Reach, if you ask me. So the fact that the battle rifle is back is brilliant.
Hopefully they get rid of armor abilities.
Yes.
I can only stand armor axe so much after enjoying So yes, that's Halo 4. Forza Horizon 3 wasn't much. It's an open world arcadey Forza game.
Is that
not arcadey? Arcadia than Forza.
Okay, arcadey. I was about to say because I assume it still uses real cars, and a lot of manufacturers don't want to see their cars get damaged, which is why you end up with stuff like Gran Turismo where your car doesn't really do anything.
It looks like a candle that sort of melted a little bit.
This isn't made by the normal team. It's made by... I'm terrible with names of people I don't care about. Which developer is this?
I've not heard of them, so it's not really...
Playground Games or something like that, I think.
And, yeah,
something
I mean...
But they are all ex-people from... some are from Bizarre, some are from... Who was again making the Colin McRae games?
Codemasters,
some ex-Codemasters guys, yeah. All the guys who were in charge back in the day for Colin McRae and before Dirt became Dirt, when it was still Toka, I think.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, I mean, you said it's just arcadey and Frozen. I mean, yeah, I think Jason was mentioning this, that he thought it should have been a Project Gotham game, which kind of makes sense, is that you do want to have more than three viable brands that are exclusive to your console, but if they want to stick with Frozen, even though we just had four and...
I think, as far as I'm concerned, you only really need, like, one racing... I mean,
you can have variety in your thing. I mean, Microsoft has Halo and Gears, which are both shooters.
Yeah.
Sony has Resistance and Killzone and Mag and SOCOM, which are all shooters.
So I've just looked up Playground Games, and apparently they've got a lot of racing pedigree in there. There's Codemasters, Ubisoft Reflections, which is Driver San Francisco.
Yeah.
Bizarre. BlackRock, which is Split Second. Criterion, obviously Burnout. And Slightly Mad, which did Shift 2, so there's a lot of racing.
Okay, just for the record, reading off that list, like, I don't know how this isn't going to be an arcade game.
they said it's not going to be in a pure arcade game. They want to keep some realism to it. It will probably be an arcade game like Dirt is now an arcade game.
Okay,
you know, it's not completely arcadey.
Because I was going to say, that pedigree, I mean, aside from not having, like, Dirt developers on it, it's nothing but arcade racing.
Well, Codemasters, not really.
Okay, but you had Burnout, you had Split Second, you had Shift 2.
Well, so, Shift isn't also not purely an arcade racer.
But it's not Sim.
It's somewhere in between. And I guess this game will be as well.
Okay.
I'm actually looking forward to it. Open world, somewhere in between Racer, more arcade Racer. Could probably be fun.
I think open world Racer has a ton of potential. And it should be interesting. I'm just kind of pushing for Burnout Paradise 2. This has nothing to do with anything, but I'm putting it out there.
It's not going to happen.
They are now Need for Speed Team 2.
Yeah.
Hey, shut your mouth. I still believe in Time Spinners 4 for you, so you can believe in Burnout Paradise 2 for me. So yes, there's that. Moving away from Microsoft for a bit.
No. I still want to talk about Steel Battalion.
Oh, I thought we talked about that when we mentioned Kinect.
Yeah, but I kind of want to talk about how excited I am now about this game.
Okay, go.
I really am. I am probably one of the biggest Kinect haters out there because I kind of hate motion gaming, but Steel Battalion actually looks kind of cool. Because you're using the controller to control the movement and aiming of your mech and the shooting, so that's all fine. That works. We know it works. And basically you just use the Kinect for all the extra buttons you had before on the monster controller. When you want to snipe, you pull down the periscope with your hand and stuff like that. So I can see how basically you don't have enough buttons for all these actions and just do a quick motion, so then you go into them, so you still have all the control about your mech. And I think that looks really fun. It could be fun. Well, except for the stupid shit like fist bumping other guys. Stuff like that. I can probably do without that, but other than that, it looks really cool, I think.
Some of it sounds a bit gimmicky. It's not even that stuff. It's the stuff like giving your teammates water or pulling somebody in who's got shot.
Yeah, I meant these what I think they probably think are these character moments.
And it's just like tedious moments you don't want to do. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to give my teammates water. Like, we're in the middle of a giant... Are you thirsty?
But it's the same. Water's important.
On the other hand, I am kind of excited for stuff like that, because I think knowing that it's done by Japanese, it will probably be overly melodramatic, so...
Yeah, it's going to be some sort
cool
of crazy
on the other
stuff
hand,
in there.
So.
And at what point does your mech go Super Saiyan?
No, I want really dramatic mech battles with everyone almost going insane inside of that thing. That's what I want.
Like I said, I think it looks interesting. I also think the Dragon Kinect game, which we don't know the title of yet,
it
looks good as well. And I mean, potentially, especially that you can get Kinect for like $100 nowadays. I think those two might convince me to get them if they actually get decent reviews. I also like the Gunslinger.
Yeah, but one game isn't enough to get the thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you get 3 or 4, it's up there though.
Yeah.
Then I can look into it, but like right now it's one game, maybe Dance Central, but you folks don't want to see me dance.
You like it or you will?
Well, I am that not caring.
Right.
I'm trying to just dance with my friends and I honestly make a fool of myself.
Well, you know,
with or without alcohol.
I'm not really a person for making myself look stupid, but I really enjoyed the the dancing minigame in WarioWare on the Wii. It's just fun, you know, and that's always why I've kind of been interested in Dark Central as well. I've just not really had an opportunity to play it with anybody.
See, the reason I think Dance Central is usually referred to as a better dancing game than Just Dance, but Just Dance doesn't have that burden of entry because you just need a Wii and a controller that comes with it.
Yeah.
So more people have that than they do Dance Central that I know at least. So I've gotten to play Just Dance more often than I play Dance Central. I would love to play Dance Central. I'm just not going to do it in the middle of a Best Buy. So, yeah. I guess sticking with Japan for a bit, we have Resident Evil Operation. Okay, at this point, Capcom is really just trying to piss off their fans as best as possible. I assume they have some type of better among in the company, because Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City was announced to have a 360 exclusive mode.
And doesn't it also have microtransactions?
But that's the other thing, is that it's an exclusive mode that you have to pay for
what?
On top of the
game. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you get the opportunity to buy it exclusively.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
Oh my god, Capcom, you have... That is a whole new low. at least EA's day one DLC is on every platform. Wow.
But yes, you get an exclusivity that you have to pay for on top
of your
game. Oh my
god.
Granted, it's like $3 or $4, but it's still something.
It's $3 or $4 that you shouldn't have to pay.
Yeah, no, what it shouldn't do is buy Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I was going to say, it's also, I always think this is stupid. I mean, this is just me, and this isn't, like, I hate online passes. This is, I hate, you know, I do hate it. But I've always thought the idea of automatically fragmenting your audience is stupid.
They won.
Because it's like, oh, you can buy this mode, but that doesn't mean anybody else has it. So, you're going to be paying by yourself for a bit, or you're not going to be paying it anyhow.
I mean, I remember a time where I would be the one that decides whether I buy a game or not, not the developer and the publisher doing it for me like this.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's the same thing. It's like this. I mean, granted, Resident Evil is a big brand, it's a big name, but this is a entirely new project for them, and the idea that you're saying, like, you know what, not everybody can get the same multiplayer experience from us, really just kind of craps on the entire game from the get-go. I mean, I'm sure you've all tried to play games before that have completely dead online environments or community. And starting off like that isn't going to help you. Isn't going to help sales. Especially when you can get Resident Evil Revelations for 3DS and Resident Evil 6 is announced for later on this year. You're honest, this game serves no purpose at this point, and this isn't really helping them.
I just hope this whole game backfires for Capcom. Because it doesn't look good, what they're doing with the exclusive mode is stupid, and they also have some ridiculous expectations for the game selling. I think it's like 3 to 4 million, I think. So, yeah.
I think it's based on the name. I mean, honestly, I hate Capcom, I really do, but this past couple of months, it's very hard not to root against them.
Yeah. It really is. And I also really love Capcom. I have so much love for some of the franchises, but what they are doing is some of the worst stuff this generation.
Yeah, and I don't know why. Maybe they're hard up for money or something, but like, it's this whole thing with them where it's like the nickel and diamond people in the stupidest of ways.
They don't care,
and that's the thing. It's like they're gonna get to a point where people don't trust them anymore, and I think you're getting to that point now.
I am already at that point. I don't even want to think about what we will do with Resident Evil 6.
Yeah, like I'm at that point where I'm surprised if people buy Street Fighter X Tekken first week or first month, because you know there's gonna be like an advanced version of the game coming out sometime soon. It's the same, and then, you know, like the costume DLC stuff, which I think it's stupid, it's not a huge deal, but the fact that it's on top of these problems you already have, it really doesn't make you look like a great company in a lot of people's eyes. And they do make good games, it's just that there was Off the Record, there's Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, there's the costume DLC, there was the thing in Mercenaries where you couldn't delete your save file, there's this exclusive mode in Operation Raccoon City.
I also don't know how to write.
At this point, I have to assume it's a joke. I have to assume they earn on the joke. No company can be that stupid. I mean, granted, other than so, yeah. So, Capcom.
Capcom. Or something.
You. Get your act together. Become that great company you can be. Especially when you have people like, I forget his first name, Fish, the guy who developed Fez, calling Japanese, saying Japanese games suck. You're not disproving his theory. Not that your games are bad, but nobody's saying.
This is the thing, right, is Phil Fish is an asshole.
Here we go.
And the Capcom is proving him right, which is not helping his ego. Phil Fish has a massive ego, and companies like Capcom are just feeding it. And, you know, I think it's ridiculous that, you know, Phil Fish, Mr. I haven't actually shipped a game yet, is...
Yeah, that was my biggest thing.
Telling the Japanese, is saying the Japanese make crap games, and he's being proved right, for the most part. I mean, there are good Japanese games out there. I mean, you know, we've got things like Bayonetta, and, I mean, I know I'm going to say Vanquish, and it makes me sound like I'm a Platinum Games fanboy, but, you know, they're two really good examples.
you know, the Japanese just don't no longer dominate like they used to, but it's not like they just produce crap.
Yeah, because there are some really good Japanese games out there. I mean, a few years ago, I would have never thought that I would have liked something like Bayonetta.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's also not that it's not that the West produces great quality games either. I mean, not to say, the West produces a ton of crap as well, I should say.
Yeah.
I think the difference is that you don't have as many games coming out of Japan, so you kind of notice it more.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of the great Japanese titles are nowadays on handhelds.
Yeah, that too. And the other thing is, and I always find this funny, I kind of understand why, is that when you talk about Japanese developers, Nintendo's usually always excluded.
That's true.
Nintendo's always an exclusion.
Yeah.
It's because Nintendo have a bar, and they never really dip below the bar. So,
I just find it funny that usually when people refer, it's like everybody else except for Nintendo, and even Sony, because I think
Nintendo
Sony
is so good, they transcend race.
I also think Sony's more of an American developer now, or a Western one, because they do, what, one game in Japan now, which is Gran Turismo?
They have some.
And I guess Guardian,
some titles like Tokyo Jungle. But yeah.
Yeah, they're mostly in the West and the Viper now. So, yeah, but yeah, usually it's those two are immune, but everybody else is just like. But yeah, my biggest, I mean, you know, people have opinions in Japanese game sucks or whatever, and there are people who agree with it. I don't necessarily. I think what the problem was, they had an identity crisis this generation where they couldn't keep making traditional Japanese games, and they tried to westernize it. And then they found stuff. I think, you know, like Platinum Games is a great example with Bayonetta and Vanquish and stuff like that, where they're making western-influenced games with a Japanese flair to it. My biggest issue is...
Of course, these games didn't sell well.
They didn't sell well, which is always...
Which is a shame.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But that's another debate altogether, because I do think there's also a nationalist pride where, at least in America, a lot of people don't like Japanese-esque designs because anime is no longer as popular here. So to a lot of people, it's kind of... It's I don't want to sound derogatory, but it's kind of gay.
Yeah.
And that's how a lot of people see it. Like, you know, the men look like women and these belts.
Androgynous
and
characters.
Yeah.
Personally, I never got that. I most of the time I don't give a shit about the design as long as the game is good. So.
And that's how I am, and I think that's how people should be. But a lot of people, and you notice you're a member of GAF. A lot of people. To them, it's like, you know what, I'm just going to judge this game on the face value. I don't like this design, this aesthetic, and that's gone. Or, you know what, I want my, you know, it's the same way I kind of have that beef against, like, dude bro shooters, where you have, like, Gears of War beefy guys in armored suits and whatever. So, yeah, I can see why. It's just kind of, you know, because back in the early 2000s, late 90s, anime was a huge thing because of Dragon Ball Z and stuff like that. So people were okay with it. Now it's not as big, and we have like an American or Western feel now. So people kind of stick with those games. And the other thing is, a lot of people are so self-conscious about their image that, you know, playing that game around their friends or seeing have their friends knowing they own it makes them look less cool. So they need. There's a reason why Call of Duty and Gears of War are considered mature games, even though they're less mature than. A lot of stuff. but yeah, I was going to say, my biggest issue with Phil Fish is the fact that you're insulting people's games without actually finishing yours.
And this is the thing, is Phil Fish has taken about as long to do Fez as it takes the Japanese to do a lot of their games.
Which isn't necessarily true, because they finish their games.
And like, not only that, is
Guardian...
Fez may come out and it may be awful itself.
Maybe.
I just think Phil Fish just likes the sound of his own voice.
I was about to say that too, because he's taken a tweet and he's insulting gamers.
Yeah,
his friend,
I know.
As well, which I always think is a stupid thing to
don't,
do.
You don't insult your potential customers, because they're the ones that are going to be paying your bills at the end of the day.
I understand that it might get frustrating when people talk bad about you and stuff like that, but you put yourself on the line when you say comments like this. You should deal with the repercussions. I really hate when people say, like, oh, these people are idiots or they're angry. Like, you're going to get angry responses. That's what you need to expect. But you can't just dismiss it and say, oh, they don't matter to me. Because it is a vocal group that's talking to you. You should kind of see what's wrong with that. And I was just say the other thing is, and this is kind of, you know, off the side, is that Fez, as of right now, looks very influenced by Japanese games.
Exactly.
Which is the biggest thing. I mean, if you were to look at Fez would you think it's an American game or a Japanese game?
At first I thought it was kind of Japanese, and then I was like, oh no, this is the guy that thinks all Japanese games suck. It can't be.
It's Japanese. I mean, this is platform, which means it's influenced by Mario, and it looks like Echochrome.
The pixel art looks very reminiscent of the Super Nintendo heydays.
Yeah, and I swear that guy's in the GameStop commercials, but I could be mistaken. You don't shit in the river, you bathe in, or whatever that expression is. So yeah, he's been taking a bath this week, and.
But I also want to say I will play Fez if it's good.
Oh, I try. This is personally why I don't follow developers and creators on Twitter. It's because I don't want their personal behaviors and actions to influence my buying decisions.
Yeah, but you shouldn't even have to think that way.
You shouldn't have to, but there are people who, you know, they react like that. And to me, it's just like, I want to enjoy the product. I don't want to think of this product as being associated with this jackass.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to separate. I mean, I know people have issues with Cliffy B. He's outspoken. But that doesn't mean I don't enjoy Gears of War. Because to me, it's not like I'm playing Cliffy B.
This is the thing, right? Is Phil Fish is an independent developer, right? Which means he needs to watch his mouth. Because, you know, I'm not a fan of Cliffy B, right? But I know that the people at Epic, they do good stuff. So I went out and bought Gears of War. Regardless, because I'm not going to let, you know, one person out of a company that maybe employs 200 to 400 people, you know, influence my purchase decision. Because overall, the company is a good company. But when Phil Fish is on his own, and, you know, when the sole developer of a game goes and says, oh, all Japanese games suck, oh, gamers are just not nice people, then that's it. That's it, you've gone. What little care I had for Fez in the first place is now gone. I don't care.
Yeah, and I was about to say, especially with an independent game, is you don't have. I mean, like, you can.
Independent developers are supposed to be the good guys.
Well, it's not. I don't think of that in any terms. Well, I don't.
Independent developers to make themselves out to be the good guys.
I also hate that attitude in movies where, like, oh, if you don't support the indies, you're not doing it right. A good film's a good film. I don't care if it's from a $250 million budget or if it's from $50 million.
Well, yeah.
Or if it's from $5 and filmed in a corner store. A good film's a good film and a good game's a good game, no matter who makes it or who publishes it. What I was going to say is that when you're an independent developer, you really need the internet on your side. You can get away with it at the retail level because, you know, people go in stores and see games and stuff like that. You won't find a lot of people who are, like, casual gamers or browsers or whatever checking out Steam or Xbox Live Arcade or PSN to find Fez unless they've heard about it beforehand. And if they're pissing off that audience, who's going to be the first adopters? People kind of get the word out on your game. You're really, really digging yourself into a hole that's going to be difficult to get out of.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, yes, I think that's more than enough time for Phil Fish. I will say this much to finish it up. He got a lot of free publicity this week. I honestly didn't know his name before this week. I knew Fez.
I didn't know Phil Fish either, but
I actually follow him on Twitter, and I will keep him there just for the entertainment value.
that's a good idea. I might do that.
And this was kind of a minor Fibble, which is Crytek's first smartphone video game.
It's a puzzle game. And I was like, hang on, you're the guys that made Crysis and Far Cry, and you're doing Homefront 2, and you're doing a puzzle game.
Well, I think they realized that puzzle games and tower defense games are usually the best games to work on these
devices. Well, especially on mobiles.
The game actually looks pretty good. I mean, we haven't seen much of it, but it looks decent enough. I'd give it a chance, especially since most of these usually come with free trials.
Is it actually using the CryEngine?
I believe so.
Well, if it's going to be 2D, though, we're not going to see any of the fancy features it's supposed to.
Yeah, of course, but I'm just interested if they are still using the engine, which I think would be interesting.
I was also going to say that I think a lot of people don't care about graphics the way most normal gamers do on the internet. So I don't think this could be used in like the Angry Birds engine, and most people wouldn't care.
It does use CryEngine 3. It's just on the website. So there you go.
I assume it's just their way of trying to expand the CryEngine into the mobile space.
Look, there's puzzle games on mobile as well.
I think it's interesting because you have Epic. They already have the mobile version with the Unreal Engine, and I guess they also want to tap into this market. So they basically want to promote their engine for the mobile market, which I think is great. Means more better looking mobile games. I think that's good.
I can't wait to see what Frostbite 2 looks like on smartphone with Battlefield Heroes 2. I'm a fan of mobile gaming, smartphone gaming, whatever. I think they need to play to their strengths, which tends to be puzzle games and, you know, stuff like that where you can just use your fingers and not stuff that needs multiple inputs at once.
Of course, you have to design the game for a platform. That's important.
That's always been important, but that doesn't mean people do it.
Yeah.
And finally, to wrap up what we started talking about last week, is that Valve denied that they're making a Steam Box a home console.
But they said they were going to ship the big picture UI mode for Steam at some point. But at some point, means anything for Valve. It could be in 10 years' time that they do that.
I was about to say, especially, you know, because when Valve narrows down a date, that means any time. When they give you a vague, it could be anywhere. I assume that thing's not going to happen in our lifetime.
Wait, let me check the official Valve wiki for Valve time, what some time means. Sometimes it's not on here yet, so who knows?
Well, we get the entry put in when the big picture UI mode comes out and we find out how long that actually is.
Well, you see, I was about to say, even then, you'd have to wait for them to announce it and then do like a time. So you're going to have part of their own Valve time in there to begin with. So yeah. And I think that does it for news. I mean, we had MPDs. It wasn't a good month for many people.
I think the two big things are that Asura's Wrath and Syndicate bombed badly.
I'm not surprised at Asura's Wrath. I didn't think they had much of a market.
I wasn't really surprised either. I don't even think it's much of a game, so...
Yeah. And so I'm happy for... I mean, I hate to say it, but it means it's going to be like $20 in a week, and I'll check it out at that price.
Yeah,
Syndicate, I was kind of surprised by.
I am as well. I didn't think the name would pull anyone in, but yeah, I think they kind of promoted it a lot. But still, Armor Lure sold more, and a lot of people I know never heard of Armor Lure before. I told them, hey, play Kings of Armor Lure. It's actually pretty good.
Well, I think part of it was that the Mass Effect, you know, getting stuff from the Mass Effect 3 demo, and I think it's made by a Boston Red Sox former player, so yeah, it had that baseball tie-in. So, you know, he actually got to go on shows and promote it. I think he was on Jimmy Fallon and stuff.
Oh, okay. And
so yeah, so have more games made by famous people, you'll get more attention.
And it kind of makes me happy that Syndicate bombed. Because it means not every old beloved franchise has to be made into a first-person shooter. That's what I said.
Yeah. And I was going to say is that I think we're also hitting the point, well, I hit the point personally long ago, but I think we're just hitting the point where first-person fatigue is sitting in. Like, you really don't need anything aside from Halo, Call of Duty, Battlefield. I mean, that's three or four like shooters a year that can sustain you. You don't need Syndicate or Medal of Honor or Homefront or God knows how many other shooters that come out.
Yeah, and said they could have made a real Syndicate for people like me who still remember Syndicate.
Yeah, but I mean, would that have sold any better?
Maybe. Nostalgia is a big thing. I mean, we are getting a new XCOM, and I am really looking forward to that one.
Is that not a shooter, too?
No, well,
there's a
the
new
real XCOM.
Strategy XCOM as well.
Okay. Done by Firaxis.
I mean, you never know. I mean, StarCraft sells well in that. I didn't think there was still a huge market for real-time shooters.
Strategies.
Yeah, there we go. So I think they're all real-time shooters. Wow, okay, I'm tired. I was up until 6 a.m. this morning. And finally, question of the week, and I posed this one on Twitter. I don't know if either one of you answered it, but I was kind of curious as to what motivates you to finish a game, what keeps you going?
Is it fun? Yes, no.
Is it fun? Yes, no.
A lot of the time I feel an obligation to finish my game.
if I encounter one thing, it could just be one thing that pisses me off, I would put the game down and not play it ever again. I did the same thing, I did that with Deus Ex, I got to the first boss, and I just put it down and never played it again. I had that problem with Dead Space 2, I got to the last boss, and then I thought, fuck this boss, I put it down and never played it again. I don't really have any qualms about not playing a game ever again.
Okay.
I finish almost all my games. It's very rare that I don't finish a game. Lately, I've just... one game I've lately not finished was Eco, because I just didn't feel it. And it didn't get any better, so I left that alone. But sometimes I get a game like Dragon Age 2, for example, was one of those games, which is still powered through. I ignored a lot of the side quests, but I still finished it. Just so I could basically bitch about it without being called out having not played it.
Okay. Before I share my answer, which is already on the website, I mean, a lot of people said stuff like having fun. I was actually surprised at the number of people who said achievements and trophies.
Oh, God. Saying that, we're all guilty of it at some point.
I've never finished a game for the achievements or
really?
The trophy.
Yeah,
no.
Me neither.
Really?
I mean, it sucks. It sucks when you have an incomplete game on your thing. But I've never said.
I suppose if the achievements are easy enough and the game isn't that bad to the point where I get frustrated with it, I'll do it because I did it with Duke Nukem Forever.
You can look at my Xbox Live profile. I have one achievement in Sonic CD. I did not finish the game.
Yeah.
For example.
I'm not gonna say I don't achievement whore. I used to anyhow, but I've never beat a game because I needed the achievements in it. And I've done.
I beat Duke Nukem Forever, and then I beat it again, and then I beat it again, and then I beat it again. Does that count? Just for achievements.
Well, I've beaten games multiple. I've beaten games multiple times for achievements, like Resident Evil 5 and the Gears of Wars. But usually, it's because I enjoy the game well enough that I don't mind playing it on a harder difficulty. And usually, if it has co-op, it's much easier for me because I can do it with different people. But I've never done. If it's a single at Castlevania, if I beat it, if there's an achievement for beating it on hard mode, I won't do that. As for me, I mean, fun is always a huge factor. It's why I'm a Nintendo fan. But I actually went with something a bit different, and I was trying to think of it, and the best way to explain it was, is that I enjoy a game that gives me a sense of wonder and discovery. It's what really pushes me forward. A game that kind of keeps me on my toes and trying to figure out what's going to come next or what's going to happen next is always one that's going to be easier for me to finish. And the two examples I gave on the website were The Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker, which, I mean, I know a lot of people have an issue with the sea, but I think the sea is a great example of the physical manifestation of exploration, where you never know what's going to happen, and it's cool for the first couple of hours, and by the time it does kind of get tedious, like, you know, I've seen most of this, they do give you a warp system. But, you know, like, you can, you know, like, sometimes you travel, it's like 15 minutes to travel from coast to coast, but you do see stuff along the way. You sometimes make detours onto islands you see in the distance and you stop there. I mean, you might find a treasure or a pirate ship or something like that. And I, you know, that was great. The other example I gave, which is a lot different, is Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Mm.
because by any definition, that's not a difficult game at all. But I continued on because the game had so much charm to it, and it was driven by this, the whole aesthetic kind of came together, where like at the end of every stage, you kind of unfurled the world map, and even that gave me a lot of joy, because each thing did something differently, like you would unravel, like you'd open a lava cave, and that would shoot up and graze the platform, so you can get to the next stage and stuff like that, and just like at the end of every stage, I kind of had like this childlike wonder of what they're going to do next to open up the next world, and then you do that, and you just figure out what's going to be next, like you can be, you know, you're in a sand dune one stage, just skateboarding down a mountain, you're unraveling a Christmas tree house, you're in space, and it's a lot of stuff going on, and it's always kind of left me with this, like, I want to see what comes next, and that, I think those are the games that really, really push me to finish them. Even Uncharted's like that, even Uncharted's more linear, but it focuses on the set pieces, and like, what great discovery will Drake go to next, where would he head off to next, what exotic location will you see next? And that, you know, it's very hard to put into words, but I think that's what really drives me, and fun as well. None of you said this, but another popular answer we got was story, which is actually the one I thought a lot of people were going to say, and it's honestly, it's how the question came to me in the first place, because I was wondering, like, what makes me love Mario so much, because he has no story. Like, the princess get kidnapped, and that's pretty much the extent of the story.
story is not, like, the major thing, though. If I enjoyed the story, but I wasn't having fun, then I'm not going to play the game. I'll watch the cutscenes on YouTube.
Exactly, we're still talking about games, so if the gameplay doesn't work, I don't care about the story.
I've seen a lot of people say they would rather have a good story than a good game, and that drives me up the wall.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point of video games. That's the point of movies, not video games.
Exactly. And that's why I was so opposed to the very idea of Asura's Wrath, because it might have a crazy fun story, but there's not much game there to actually play.
Yeah, and I don't think we had this discussion on the show before, but I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, the lady from Mass Effect, from BioWare, should say, Jennifer Helpia. You know, she came out and said she wished that games had an option for people to skip
combat.
The gameplay.
Yeah. That's a movie, Jennifer. Go watch a movie.
And
read a book.
I think that was the default answer. It's like, yeah, at that point, you're just watching a movie, or you can do it on
and
YouTube.
Not only that, is video games have a terrible reputation when it comes to stories. And even that, and that's probably not going to go away anytime soon. So, you know.
I think the problem is, and this is going to be something that the industry is going to have to find a way to deal with if they want to continue pursuing story, is that there tends to be a general tonal divorce between what you're doing in the game and what the story is telling you. I think the best example is usually Uncharted, where Drake does not seem like a cold-blooded killing machine in the story.
But you are when you play it.
Yeah, you ran through dozens of people at a time with no remorse in your heart. And then you get to a cutscene, and he's like this really nice guy who doesn't seem like he's willing to kill.
Well, maybe Drake's plagued by nightmares. We just don't see it.
Hey, Shepard is. But yes, this is a discussion for another time, and we're already over the hour mark. So we're going to begin to wrap. As always, you can find us on iTunes. You can check out the website. We have, I think by the time this is up, hopefully we'll have the top 5 or 10 drinking game franchises in honor of Mario Party 9 released this week. We'll probably have a Mass Effect 3 review up sometime this week. I don't know what's Jason's stance on that. He's probably going to savor every moment of it. I still want to do my WWE story modes and wrestling games and fighting games in general article. I just have to figure out how to word that properly. I want to thank Daniel and Martin for joining us. And this has been Dual Worlds in episode 61.
See ya.